Matthew Owens, we spent some time last week talking about the attitude of serving, and I had entitled the message "The Attitude and Aptitude of Serving," which I said wasn't very catchy, so I changed it to "What's with your two dude," which I thought was clever and funny, but last week it didn't go over well at all. So I thought, well, we'll give her a go again. We've been talking about following Jesus together, about loving God, loving people, and serving others. And last week we talked about why we serve others. I want to talk about this week about some ways that we can serve others. But last week we also talked about what Pastor Wayne Barrow said is the most important decision that you'll make is to follow Jesus. The second most important is how you do that, your attitude. I talked about the scripture from Psalms which says, serve the Lord with gladness. It's not just serve the Lord, but serve the Lord with gladness, with joy in our hearts. We talked about that we can learn from Jesus. We can learn from his example, and we can learn from his instruction. We walked through John chapter 13 about him washing the disciples' feet. Jesus is not asking us to do anything that he hasn't done. In serving people, he's not asking us to somehow do something that he hasn't done. Jesus came to save us. One of the ways he came to save us is he also came to serve us. And he showed us how to live, showed us how to treat one another. So we learn from watching by keeping our eyes on Jesus, but we also learn from doing. Don't just watch, but do. And we concluded the service with the closing remarks in at least the washing of the feet part of John chapter 13, where he says, blessed are you if you do these things. Not just if you know them, about being a servant and serving one another. Blessed are you if you, in fact, do these things. Jesus lowered himself and he elevated others. And that's what serving is all about. The word ministry has to do with serve. You know, I want to be in the ministry. Great, here's your apron. Right, like ministry is about serving, and certainly that's one of the things that we phrase in our Foursquare family of churches. We talk about pastoral ministry as servant leadership, is that my role here is to serve you, and we serve together. If you wonder what the word aptitude means, it has to do with our natural ability. It has to do with giftedness, whether it's developed or undeveloped. We all have an aptitude, a leaning, a bent towards some things. God created you. God created you very specifically and uniquely and carefully. And you are amazing and wonderful. And although you have some similarities and you like some things that other people like, and there's similarities and resemblances, there's no one like you. You are unique, and your value is out of this world. And as God wove you together, as God made you, he deposited in you and in me, in each one of us, some giftings. And I would even say that that's a spiritual gift, is the natural tendencies and bent and giftings that we have. That's a spiritual gift because it's from God the Father, and he wired us a certain way. Your aptitude, it's a spiritual gift. We talk about natural ability, but innate. You are born with it, inborn. But God designed you to be able to do some stuff and like some stuff and who you are. And he's given us gifts, but the reason why God gave us gifts is for gifts to be used, shared, right on. That's why we have gifts, is not to keep them to ourselves, but God's given you gifts to be able to share and share with others. Look at what Romans tells us. Romans, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world. So last week we talked about not letting greatness be defined by how the world would define greatness and success. Do not be conformed to the image of this world, but be transformed. Let there be a change in you, transformed by the renewing of our minds. We've got to think differently, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable, the perfect will of God. Present our bodies as a living sacrifice. We come before the Lord, which is a reasonable act of service, a spiritual act of worship. We say, God, here I am. I give my life to you. And in that, as we renew our minds, as we start thinking differently, not according to the world's pattern of thinking, but a kingdom pattern of thinking, that God's thoughts are so much higher than ours, but they are not unknowable. As we read His Word and we discover a new blueprint for how to think, by the renewing of our minds, we're able to discover and then demonstrate God's will. And sometimes we stop at verse 2. But there's a verse 3. And it says this. Right after we present our bodies as a living sacrifice before the Lord, which is a reasonable service, we begin to discover God's will, be able to walk in it as we transform and renew our minds. For I say, through the grace given to me. Now, hear that phrasing, the grace given to me. So we don't boast about grace. Grace is grace. And there's this gifting of grace. But there's an acknowledgement, Paul's right, for the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. We'll pause there for just a second. Grace. Grace is not something to be boastful about. For the grace given me. And then he said, with this grace given, that each one has been given a measure. Let's go back. Each one has been given a measure of faith. And that doesn't mean that somehow he had a big scoop of faith for Barb and a little one for Chris. It has to do with it's a level playing field. Each one has received this measure of faith. No, nobody's bypassed. It's a level playing field. No one has been left out. But he talks about there are differences. Difference of function. Verse 5, this. So we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. We're all individuals, but we're connected. We're the body of Christ together. Having then gifts, differing according to the grace. We're not going to boast about a gift that we have because it's been given by grace. It's an act of grace. It's an impartation of grace. God chose and God gave. Each one has a measure of faith. Now there are some different giftings. None more valuable than others. But look at the grace. There's a grace given to us all. Let us then use them. If prophecy, let's prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, serving, let us use it let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching. He who exhorts, encourages, challenges. He who exhorts in exhortation. He who gives with liberality or with generosity. He who leads with diligence. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness. God, by His grace, has given us gifts. And not only has He given us gifts, you are a gift. You are a gift to my life. You are a gift to this church, and I treasure you. As overwhelmed as I am about the love of God, that God loves you, I was in my office before the service just thinking about how much I love you. Last week there was Pastor's Appreciation, and we were just so blessed by your kindness and thoughtfulness and words and hugs and gifts and just overwhelmed. I was just so humbled. I just love you. I just love you. God's given us gifts. Let us use them. The list that we read through in Romans, it's neither exhaustive or exhausting. It's a relatively short list. There are far more gifts. Paul's writing by example. If you have this, do it this way. If you have this, do it this way. But everyone has received a deposit. What are you gifted in? If you were to take a moment and just pause and think, what are you gifted in? If you were to say, oh, I'm not gifted, I would back you up to the scripture that we just read because you're not using sober judgment. Somehow you've believed a lie because you are gifted. It's not humble, it's inaccurate. You are gifted because each one has received a measure of faith and God has poured out His grace and placed gifts in each one. Nobody comes to the table without a gift. You all have, we all have gifts that God has wired us, placed within us. Personalities, traits, tendencies, leaning towards, that God has wired us a certain way and has placed in you gifts. They may be undeveloped. But you have gifts. The problem is sometimes we don't measure our gifts accurately. You can't use a tape measure to weigh something. And you can't use a weigh scale to keep track of time. And you can't use a clock to measure your shoe size. And you can't use comparison with others to determine your value or your giftedness. If we look at other people and say, I'm not gifted, we're using the wrong measure. We're using the wrong matrix. God has placed gifts within all of us. If the foot says, I can't see anything, okay, you weren't created or intended to see anything. If you're seeing yourself through the lens of other people, we're not seeing correctly. We need to see as God sees us and discover the giftings He's placed in us. There are lots of ways to identify your gifts, God-given abilities. There are gift tests. There are spiritual gift tests. There are aptitude tests. And some are really effective and some are really goofy. I didn't know I was a skilled metal worker until I listened to these tapes and I discovered that's what I am. Before there were all these tests, which can be good and right, maybe it might be a good place to start for you and for me to look at what we're already doing well, what we're already serving in, places we're already ministering. No person is without a gift. There are people here this morning with the gift of encouragement. And it just seems like every time I talk to you or you talk with one another, there's encouragement, encouragement, encouragement. There are people who have a prophetic gift that are able to see what God is doing and understand the time, be able to declare God's word in real clear ways, understanding, hearing the voice of God. There are people who are gifted in hospitality. And whether it's serving here in the church, serving coffee and inviting people and welcoming people, or in your home, or just a hospitable person, wherever you are, people feel at home and welcome and valued. There are people who are gifted in construction. There's been training and there's been development, but gifted in construction. I am gifted in the ability to take a 2-hour project and cram it into 4 hours. My primary gifting is not construction. Some people are gifted in gardening, that you love gardening. Some people are gifted in design. Some people are gifted in mercy and kindness, personality and other gifts. But like all gifts, it seems like there's some assembly required. Is that there's some training. A few things about when we think about serving and serving in our gifts. Number one is we want to be growing and learning and not just staying the same. I find that with me with music, with my guitar playing and my piano playing. Piano a little better than guitar, I think, from what I've grown in. Like, I've been playing the guitar for 30 years, but I haven't improved in 28 of those. I've plateaued, and if I'm going to grow in that, I need to take some lessons and have some training and whatever, because I'm just at a certain spot. It's like, I'd like to do better, but I don't want to invest the time in doing better. But if I'm going to grow in that, I'm going to need some training. But in that, I need to be teachable. And it's so much easier to grow in our giftings when we're teachable. When we look and say, I can learn from you. Can you help me with this? Whatever it is. So we don't just come and say, well, this is how I do it. But we're able to be open to others and open to the Lord and just say, I want to be teachable. I want to grow. It involves practice. Boy, when I watch athletes on TV, they make it look so easy. Have you ever watched golf? I mean, not many people like watching golf. I love it. It drives my family crazy. Can't we just watch golf? Dad, why don't we watch paint dry? Or, you know, peel an apple and watch it turn brown. That's more exciting. Like, do something, but let's not watch golf. But you watch them at the tee box, and it just, it's so effortless. And off the ball goes, and it's a beautiful shot. I went out to the driving range this past summer. I went up to get a bucket of balls, and I watched the people hitting the balls, and it was just so effortless. And I put my clubs back in my car, and I left. I didn't even hit a bucket because I thought, all I'm going to be is live entertainment. This is not good. Because it was going to be a whole lot of effort for me to shank the ball that way and that way and whatever. There is some effort involved if we want to use our gifts and grow in them. But I think the point is not actually about using our gifts. It's about using our gifts to help others. This is what Scripture says in 1 Peter. As each one has received a special gift, as each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another. As good stewards of, here is that verse again, or that phrase about grace, as good stewards of the manifold, of the many-faceted grace of God. He has poured out manifold grace upon us. Each one has received grace. Each one has received a special gift. And so in that, use our gifts, not just to use our gifts, but use our gifts to serve others. And that's the attitude we come with. When we come to the kingdom of God, we don't head for the grandstands, we head for the playing fields. We're not just to spectate what goes on. We're to minister and serve. And it's amazing when the gifts that the Father has given us, our personality, our leanings, our bent, our aptitude, that we grow and develop in those things. It's amazing when we partner the gifts of the Father with the gifts of the Holy Spirit. When we are empowered by the Holy Spirit as we serve. I'll tell you, in our Life Together group this past week, we talked about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and people would give their testimony about how they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And watch time after time after time. And since I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, not only was I released in the heavenly language, but I was able to, and my life has been different this way. And I have a word of wisdom and a word of knowledge. And I share with people, the Holy Spirit just brings it to remembrance, these things. And I say this, and it makes a difference in their lives. And can you imagine when we partner with the gifts of the Father, our bent, our natural abilities, which supernatural abilities, how we're wired, and then we partner with the gifts of the Holy Spirit. What a difference we can make. So we're not just serving in a humanitarian effort, but because we're empowered by the Holy Spirit, we're making an eternal difference as we partner with God in reaching this world. Because the harvest will not self-reap, but it will self-destruct. And we need to be about reaching people. And one of the ways we can do it is by serving in our gifts. But not just so we can use our gift, serving in our gifts to help and reach others. When we use our natural gifts and our supernatural enablement to help others, the kingdom of God can be expanded. And not only using our gifts and partnering with the Holy Spirit, it's taking responsibility. When we see things that we think, well, I might not be gifted in, I might not be called to that. I'm not convinced that Jesus at the table that we talked about last week was gifted or called to wash their feet. I think it was like, somebody's feet stink. Something's noticeable about these 11 guys who've been wandering around, and he models for us. The slide says, somebody should do something. Have you ever walked by a piece of garbage in the parking lot? Or notice that a neighbor's walk hadn't been shoveled. Or a wall could use some paint. Or wondering if, boy, somebody, they're so faithful, serving and serving and serving, wondering if they could ever use a break. Somebody should do something. And here's the answer. You're somebody. If you see something, a need that you can meet, go ahead and do that. And use, doesn't have, this is my spiritual gift to pick up garbage. That's not it at all. But it's my spiritual responsibility to make a difference wherever I go. and bring life to people. And anywhere that I can help, I'm going to serve. I'm going to give. I present my body as a living sacrifice. Lord Jesus, touch my eyes so I can see where I can serve, where I'm gifted and called, when I partner with your Holy Spirit, and then all of the other things that just need to get done because I'm part of the family, I'm going to help. Can I help with that? And that's how we serve. Let me go ahead and pray this morning. Jesus, you came to serve, and may that be true of us. May we be able to say to others, I've come to serve, how can I help? God, help us to do that in our families. Where we have bents and leanings and natural and innate abilities that you have placed and wired us that way, God, help us to be able to use those to serve in our families. Partnering with your Holy Spirit, God, give us words of wisdom and words of knowledge. God, help us to pray for the sick and see them healed. God, as we serve, may the miraculous take place. Jesus, time and time again, in the midst of your ministry, as you were serving, as people were serving, we saw the miraculous take place. God, help us to see that take place as we serve. God, help us to serve our church family, places where we're gifted, and places where we just see there somebody should do something about that. God, help us, if we can see it, God, help us to be the answer to that need, to meet that need. And God, in this world, help us to serve. Help us to serve in the areas we're gifted in, and help us to be empowered by your Holy Spirit so that when we serve, there's a fragrance of Christ on our lives. There's a difference that we make because we're empowered by the Spirit. And so in our natural serving, it becomes a supernatural act because we're partnering with you and lives are touched and doors are opened and we're able to share the gospel in all kinds of practical ways because you empower us to serve. Jesus, you said you came not to be served, but to serve. So God, help us to serve others. When the prophet said, In response, God, you said, who will I send? The prophet said, Lord, send me. And today we say, when you ask who will serve, we say, Lord, send me. May we have a servant's heart. God, lead us to serve others, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.